Welcome to the Coconuts Podcast. Today is July 17th, 2020. The Coconuts Podcast delivers impactful, weird, and wondrous reporting by our journalists on the ground in eight cities: Singapore, Bangkok, Hong Kong, Manila, Jakarta, KL, Yangon, and Bali. Listen to headline news and insightful interviews on matters large and small designed for people located in or curious about Southeast Asia and Hong Kong. I'm Byron Perry.
I'm Vim Shanmugam.
And I'm Summer Lee.
So guys, do you like McDonald's? What are your yes. thoughts on McDonald's?
Who hates it?
I had it yesterday.
Okay. Some chicken nuggers?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Eat the spicy nuggets before they're gone.
Okay.
We have spicy nuggets now?
Yeah, but I think it's going to end soon because I think they might have, it was probably like, usually they come out like earlier in the year. So maybe it was because of CB that, and they were shut down for a while, right? So I think maybe they're kind of getting rid of stock.
Interesting. Okay. Summer, what's your favorite McDonald's dish?
Oh my gosh. What would you put in a spot like this? I don't know, but spicy nuggets, it's very up there.
I like the, usually it's $1, although maybe it's a little bit more, the ice cream cones.
Mm.
Just the vanilla white ice cream cones. Love those.
Good call. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a huge McDonald's person, although I realized that I eat more McDonald's being in Asia than I ever did in the States.
Oh, yeah. I feel like it's different outside of America. It's kind of better often, and there's less stigma.
Yeah.
Like, I went abroad to Spain for a semester in college, and really there was only Spanish food to be had, which was great, and generally we liked it, but we got sometimes kind of sick of it, and we would go to McDonald's, and it would be like our, yay, McDonald's, and they served beer at McDonald's, which is fun.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, I actually do feel like the quality of McDonald's here in Asia as well, like in Thailand and Singapore, I find is better than the McDonald's in the U.S. I feel like people are, they take a little bit more pride in working at McDonald's here than in the U.S. maybe.
I also think because a lot of the food is halal, and I think there are certain, you know, restrictions on, you just can't have like weird non-meat, allegedly.
Oh, that's a good point. I never thought about that. So maybe the quality of the meat is better here.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. I mean, like it feels like our McDonald's like menus can start fights. Remember the nasi lemak burger? Ooh.
So that was here in Malaysia?
It was here. Then Malaysia got angry, and then like one restaurant over there made their own nasi lemak burger to kind of, you know, fight with us. It was wonderful. Loved it. It was like beautiful that day.
Well, we got to keep our eyes on the Taco Bell in Malaysia and whether they're going to have, remember, rendang tacos or what they're going to do. But anyway, I bring up McDonald's because we have a few stories about McDonald's this week. Anyway, why don't we dive into the top stories this week across Southeast Asia and Hong Kong? Take it away, Summer.
Whoa. Okay. For our top stories this week, we start off in Malaysia. So the headline is Sajat responds to haters over racy bikini photos. Yay, slut shaming. But yeah, once again, Noor Sajat Kamaruzaman appears to have angered fellow Malaysians, this time by posting bikini photos on her personal social media account. Wow. Yeah, so she said, I'm not prostituting myself on social media, but merely sharing about what I like to wear and appreciating my natural beauty, the cosmetics entrepreneur told the press yesterday. So yeah, the 35-year-old said this in response to haters who call for a boycott, after she uploaded four photos and a TikTok video of herself in an olive green bikini on Instagram 2 days ago. And yeah, according to the post, Sajat was promoting the results of one of her products, a girdle, as she prepared to go on a beach holiday with her bikini body. And yeah, so this was her first bikini photo. Like, other posts show that she's usually fully clothed. Interesting fact. Online, there was a boycott campaign started by a religious preacher known as Amin, whose real name is Muhammad Amirul Amin, and the 30-year-old preacher posted a screenshot of her bikini photos with capitalized text saying "porn boycott" over the images. And yeah, he's a well-known religious public figure on social media with more than 500,000 followers, and he makes regular appearances at the Abu Bakr Mosque in Cameron Highlands. So yeah, that's fun.
high-end.
Is so she's kind of like an influencer slash cosmetics entrepreneur, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Racy photos make the heart make hearts race and people get mad, I guess, in Malaysia. But yeah, it really wasn't a big deal. And unfortunate that she's facing this backlash, because people should feel free to wear to share photos of themselves in bikinis on Instagram, right?
Mm-hmm. And yeah, she apologized anyway, which is really sad. Yeah, she stood by a pose, but she said, "I'm sorry if I have offended anyone. I had no intention of doing that." Ah, sad. And she has apologized.
Bummer. Yes,
these are like super sensitive times for everything, I feel.
Yeah.
To switch gears, we are now going to go and talk about McDonald's again.
Oh.
So a man initialed MH went to a McDonald's store in South Sulawesi, capital of Makassar, and threatened to blow up the employees over there at McDonald's because he claims that Italians were responsible for the restaurant and also for coronavirus. He was later on like arrested a couple of days later when he was at a mosque. The cops say that he was sort of medically insane and he's not sort of anti-Italian or anti-McDonald's. He just basically like...
He's just confused.
He's confused and hates like foreign products. And yeah, so he's currently in police custody, but might end up going back to a mental institution. So yeah, just a very odd story.
A lot to unpack there when you're trying to bomb McDonald's to get back at the Italians for inventing COVID or for giving the world coronavirus. Yeah, head scratcher.
Wonder where he got that notion, you know, like McDonald's literally like is not an Italian name, like McDonald's.
Yeah,
like,
I don't think there was a lot of in-depth research or thought that went into this one.
Yeah.
Anyways, moving on to Thailand, one of our top stories of the last week is about dual pricing. For those that don't know, dual pricing is actually pretty common in Thailand, where attractions or businesses, it's very common in the national parks, will have two prices, even publicly listed, one for Thai folks and one for foreigners. And oftentimes the price for foreigners is double or triple that of Thai folks. This has been an ongoing, it's existed for years and years, and everybody's always, you know, the expat community in Thailand has always been up in arms about it, and a lot of people get upset. But lately it's kind of come to a head. There's been some Facebook pages and Twitter accounts started, I think mainly a Facebook page, just to share examples of dual pricing. And people will say, oh, this park in wherever is charging 300 baht for foreigners, but only 100 baht for Thai folks. And so a expat entrepreneur in Bangkok who runs an axe throwing club, to kind of troll this entire concept and maybe get publicity, which succeeded because we wrote a story about it, is charging half price for foreigners only on Tuesdays. They said in their announcement, "In light of our unfair promotion to local Thais, we kindly ask our valued Thai guests to avoid us on Tuesdays. Please come back between 4 to 7 p.m. any other day for our happy hour 50% promotions." So yeah, every Tuesday foreigners can get farongs, which is the name for foreigners, as most people know, can pay half at this axe throwing club in Bangkok. And yeah, I think this story just kind of took off because it's such a hot button issue amongst the expat community. I personally never really minded too much. I think it's kind of annoying with things like a moto taxi or a drink if they're trying to charge you double. But for things like national parks, I was always like,
yeah,
it kind of makes sense. I'm not a citizen here. I'm not a taxpayer.
Yeah.
It's a fact that generally foreigners do actually have a lot more money than your average Thai person if they're able to be traveling in Thailand. And so, yeah, I always found it was a little bit much ado about nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fine. Like, I mean, you did as well. Like, when we lived in California, like, as California residents, we got discounts at Disneyland and,
yeah,
you know, Universal Studios and all that stuff. So I think it's fine. And it's not like crazy more expensive, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm well, it is usually double or triple, but the thing is usually not that expensive overall.
Yeah.
One of the things I did see that probably for me was the most problematic was a hospital charging just like across the board. They had a sign. It's actually a famous large hospital in Bangkok. I think I'm not 100% sure which one it was, so I don't want to say it, but it was like 25% more for foreigners.
Okay.
So if you're getting a big procedure, it may be you kind of want to pay the same price as everybody else. But hey, this is Thailand, baby. You don't like it, you can leave, which is what they say.
Love it.
Yeah. I mean, in a way, like Thailand, to sort of like care for their people, they've done a lot of things to try to help their people, like, you know, with discounts and stuff. But yeah, it's an interesting one.
Yeah. Maybe it's reparations. Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe not going to touch that one. But,
Who knows?
But yeah, it's just like, I think I do actually, and so I used to live in Thailand for 5 years. I do actually understand that the attitude of the Thais who generally do this. It's like, you have a lot of money. Mm. This is not your country. I can charge whatever I want, and I'm going to charge you more because I know that you have more money generally. And if you don't like it, you can leave or not buy my product, which is always their attitude, because I've seen several times people try to argue and it's not, they're not going to budge. So this is Thailand, accept it or leave. Got to pay double, got to pay triple. So it goes.
Yeah.
And yeah, over in Singapore again, Narelle King Trump shamed Xia Xue for defending her racist tweets. But yeah, singer Narelle King took a shot at social media influencer Wendy Cheng, better known as Xia Xue, after the latter wrote a lengthy defense of her racist tweets before turning her attention to Communist Party USA member Angela Davis while taking a jab at a politician.
It's a lot to unpack.
It is. That was a long sentence. I kind of need to breathe for a second. Okay.
Can you, for those who don't know the Singapore influencer community, just give us background on Narelle King and Xia Xue?
Okay, so Xia Xue is Singapore's most infamous/famous influencer with like 600K followers on Instagram, you know, just as a little baseline to compare these people on. But yeah, and she's very outspoken about her views. They seem to be quite right-leaning. She has expressed, you know, her support for Trump, which is like, why?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Narelle is a singer from a local band, arguably Singapore's, maybe one of Singapore's most popular local bands, the Sam Willows.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, then apparently they filmed the show together last time in 2017. And then, yeah, now that Narelle has exposed Xia Xue on her Twitter, then Xia Xue hit back saying like, oh, I thought we were friends. Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to quote her, she said, lol, wow, didn't know you were such a fake bitch the entire time we were filming together. And then Narelle King responded, I guess I grew up. And yeah, this was in response to Narelle exposing Xia Xue with like a 2017 Coconut Singapore article, you know, exposing Xia Xue as a Trump supporter in a defunct subreddit. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Xia Xue is quite the troll and likes to get attention by doing provocative things. And the story that Narelle King shared was written by Coconuts, with just about her public posts saying that she was a massive Trump supporter. Yeah. Wearing a MAGA hat and holding the art of the deal, which is just cringy beyond belief. Yeah, this was kind of a manifestation of the wider conversation about race that had been happening in Singapore, right? It stemmed from the original Raisa issue that we spoke about earlier, where Raisa, the Working Party candidate, got kind of a backlash for old posts that she made, that people filed police reports against her that said that they were insulting racial and religious feelings. And so I think people began to say, okay, well, if we're going to do that, let's go into other prominent people's previous posts. And Xia Xue has a history of pretty clearly very racist tweets, et cetera. What did she say exactly in the original offending tweet, Summer?
I remember something like, oh, this group of people, they leer at women, you know, they rape people, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, there was like just racist assumptions.
Kind of like Trump. They come into our country and they rape our women.
Oh, exactly. God.
Yeah. So. The original tweet was because they molest people and fuck our maids and leer at girls and flood Little India. Mm. Yeah, I'm stereotyping, but fuck you if you say it's not true. So, ouch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
It seems like, what's the very latest? This story is a few days old now. Summer, any word on the very latest on this dispute? Or it seems to actually have died down. Maybe they wisely stopped
fighting. Actually, kind of no.
No?
But yeah, so after this tweet where Xia Xue said like, oh, why didn't you talk to me? Like, come to me personally instead of shaming me online. Mm-hmm. And then Narelle kind of said, okay, yeah, I apologize for that. And then they went on to text for 2 hours. And we know this because Narelle has been updating a Twitter. So she's like, we had a 2-hour conversation. And then Xia Xue said it was okay to, you know, post bits of the conversation to show that they were okay. And then once Narelle did that, then Xia Xue said like, oh, that's not the full picture. Then she went on to upload the entire 2-hour conversation on Google Drive.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And she basically called Narelle a fake bitch because like, I read the text because, you know, I have to.
Yes.
And yeah, it was basically Narelle trying to explain racism, how racism is systemic, talking about classism. And then it feels like Xia Xue's like main response was, how is that real? You know, that's my opinion, of course. But yeah, it felt like talking to a wall. And I guess we can applaud Narelle for that. But it seemed like, you know, it all went to waste because Xia Xue afterwards called her out saying that she was a fake bitch again. Yeah, and then it just went nowhere. And then like afterwards, Narelle also went to retweet a change.org petition to cancel Xia Xue and, you know, to ask for brands to stop working with her. So Xia Xue was like, you want to leave my son motherless? And I'm like, okay, should have thought about that like before you went on to be racist online, but that's just me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That was a big thing. Like I remember, and I think it's still going around, that I think a group of people started contacting all her brands, all her agencies.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they posted all the stuff that she did before. And
yeah, if y'all ever need, I have the link to the Google Drive, so hit me up.
So they're all like trying to cancel her, and I think only one brand, which is some small like, you know, like wedding photography company that no one cares about, like they're the only ones who like are standing by her.
Yeah.
Yeah, every other brand was like very quick to be like, yeah, she's not an official ambassador, like don't put us with her.
Well,
she did like one thing like 2 years ago. Like all of them were, it was quite funny, like all the responses.
Yeah, it was like, we sent her chicken one time and like never again. And she's never like, we've never reached out to her after that. Please don't contact us.
Yeah.
That was quite comical. I thought the responses were good.
Yeah.
It gets into the wider debate that's going on right now, I feel like globally, about cancel culture, which is maybe something that we should discuss in an in-depth interview with a guest sometime soon, because the discourse is, I feel like this is a huge debate that's going on as to like freedom of speech and, you know, being canceled, i.e. being called out and asked to apologize or losing your job or losing your sponsorships due to things that you've said previously. And I think it's a very interesting discussion that, yeah, we should probably have more in depth in another episode.
Yeah, absolutely. So to switch gears, let's go to Bali, where a Russian tourist was detained because basically for the last like couple of months, he was sleeping outside of Nagura Raya International Airport. He was in an empty lot, living like a hobo, and was caught by the local cops, the public order agency. And they basically said that you can't be here. He was arrested for the alleged disruption of public order. And now he is basically being detained. They're talking to the Russian embassy to see whether they can send him back. His claim was that he didn't have a flight to go back to, and he didn't have a flight to go back to Russia for, and had to stay in Bali. So basically, he had no flight back to Russia, and he was just staying in Bali. In Bali, a lot of the foreigners were actually like sent back home via chartered flights by their home country embassies. Or they were given the option to voluntarily stay in Bali with extended visas. And I guess he probably chose that option and then maybe changed his mind and then didn't maybe have enough cash and decided to live outside of the airport. Very, very odd situation.
Yeah. Russians in Bali, they're always getting up to trouble. The photo is pretty funny. He's got kind of like, looks like some yoga mats and a little backpack. Mm-hmm. And he's just sleeping in a little grove outside the walls of the airport. Should have taken that chartered flight, man. Yeah. It kind of reminds me of, there was a story we did about a Russian guy who actually escaped from jail, from prison for a drug offense in Bali.
Oh, gosh.
And they were searching for him everywhere. And he kind of successfully hid from the cops, I believe, for at least a few hours or a few days. But when they finally found him, he was in a ditch covered in like palm fronds. And there's a really funny photo of them pulling him out of like the ditch where he had been like sleeping under palm fronds to escape the cops. Yeah. Well, Bali, I think they say they're opening up by September or something like that, as we said previously. So hopefully this guy can get home. But I guess if he's going to jail, he'll get some 3 square meals and a bed there.
Yeah. Hopefully. Just so odd that, you know, you would try to throw a roll of the dice and kind of stay in Indonesia when you know, like, you might not know when you're going to hit back.
Yeah. Well, our final story of the week is another one about McDonald's. That's why we brought up McDonald's. This one is a little bit less funny. Basically, in Hong Kong, a McDonald's worker was attacked after telling a customer to wear a mask. This was at 3 a.m., so probably there may have been some drunkenness involved here. A McDonald's outlet in Tuen Mun in Hong Kong. Basically, a man in a black T-shirt was seen in a video that was taken of the incident, swearing at a McDonald's worker. Suddenly, he pushes the cash register to the floor and stalks behind the counter, punching the worker several times before knocking him to the floor, continued assaulting him, and kicked him in the face. Yeah, it seems like one of those incidents that I think we've all probably seen a lot of in the U.S. where people are freaking out for being asked to wear a mask, transported to Hong Kong. You guys seen any of those?
No.
Sorry. No?
No, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I feel like what is the Asian name for a Karen or
yeah. Kind of like, I guess, Chad?
A guy.
A Chad. Or what is it? Oh no, Ken. A man is Ken.
Okay. Well,
but he was with a lady, so maybe she's the Karen. Hong Kong Ken and Karen attack someone for being asked to wear a mask.
I'm like, why? Why is this happening? Like, it's the most basic thing you can do, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think a lot of people don't have anyone that is close to them, or maybe people that they know that have gone through COVID-19. And knock on wood, I hope none of us ever have to endure that. But, you know, it's such a severe, severe thing. You know, like, I have a friend who... well, a friend's friend who like basically like recovered from COVID-19 and still in recovery because she can't hear properly. She can't smell. She has no taste. And this is like a month after she was like released from the hospital.
And, in Singapore?
In the States, back home.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's just like one of those like crazy things. Like people just don't realize like how severe this illness can be. There's so much that we don't know about it. You know, now they're saying that you could never be immune to it. Your recovery might not be like in a month or two. It could be for the, you know, for the foreseeable future. So people just need to take the simplest precaution, which is just wear a mask.
Yeah.
Just wear a mask. How hard is that?
Mm-hmm. Well, what I blame is I think it's just fueled by platforms, you know, mainly Facebook and YouTube, misinformation. Mm-hmm. The mask has become this thing. And I don't know if that's the case in Hong Kong, because I don't think this was in our story yet, but I saw that the guy was possibly like a triad gangster type guy. So maybe he was just an angry gangster dude. But in America and in a lot of places, there's this moronic conspiracy theory. I don't even actually know what they're thinking is. But yeah, it's about like freedom that... nobody can tell me what to do. And there are theories that like the mask causes, you know, illness itself. And it's just shows how far from reality certain people have gone, fueled by virality of platforms, Facebook groups and YouTube videos and the rabbit holes that fall down and people are susceptible to this misinformation. It's the most obvious thing that wearing a mask would help stop the spread of a disease that's spread through coughing and sneezing and particles from your mouth and nose.
Yeah, it's just
like wearing a condom. Yeah, that's the way I think about it. You know, it's like, do you think condoms work? Then you should think masks work. It's that simple. It's stopping droplets and or bodily fluids from spreading.
I don't know. I saw this speech about this girl going off about how masks is like, you know, curtailing her freedom. And I just thought it was like super weird that, you know, a mild inconvenience feels like oppression to you. And then there are all these videos of Karens like going crazy in, I don't know, Walmarts in America. Like they have an in-store policy that if you don't wear a mask, you don't get to, you know, go shopping. And then this lady, I don't know, there was this beautiful video of this lady just throwing shit everywhere, like from her cart.
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah.
Reminds me of King Kong, but okay.
It's embarrassing. And it's so screwy because now, you know, I think a big part of it just on the subject of the US was that Trump was saying, you don't need to wear a mask. And he was kind of feeling some anti-mask sentiment. And now he has finally, and like Hannity, the big Fox News talk show host, is now saying, yeah, maybe masks work. And like Trump is starting to sometimes wear a mask. It's like, you could have fucking said that 3 months ago, dude. And it would have been a massive help. Again, we're not medical experts, but one country as an example that I've read a fair bit about and seems to be held up as an example of masks working, not a medical expert, but Japan, where there hasn't been a huge outbreak. And I've read a few things that have said that people think it's because everybody there just wears masks. They already do wear masks a lot. And so when there was the pandemic hitting, everyone just really started wearing masks all the time. And they haven't had an outbreak like Singapore or like, the US and Philippines and Indonesia, even though they, you know, all other signs would point to that they should have had an outbreak like that.
Yeah. I think just a few days ago, a doctor in Ireland, he actually posted it on Twitter just to debunk people saying that, oh, if you wear a mask, like, I'm not going to like breathe as well. And all this other stuff. I think some people thought that, oh, you wouldn't get enough oxygen to your body. And that actually makes you even more ill. But he wore like six masks. And and he took a test and showed that there were just the same amount of oxygen in your blood than if you didn't wear any mask. So, you know, it's just like little people just like kind of convince themselves of crazy things. And, you know, it's all these myths that are out there.
Yeah. There was also the kind of viral little post that I believe it was a doctor or a scientist somewhere did, where he took petri dishes. Did you see that? And there was like four different ones. He coughed on one, sneezed on one, breathed on one, sang on one. All of these, one without a mask and one with a mask. And basically the one that he breathed on without a mask after a week or whatever had a fair bit of, what is it, bacteria growth of, you know, due to the germs, for lack of a better word, that was spread from his breathing on it. And the one that he sneezed on was absolutely full. All of the ones that he did the same, you know, sneezing, breathing on without a mask, they were pretty much totally clean. There were like no growths on them. Just showed that the mask really does work well, as makes total sense, to protect particles from your mouth splattering on surfaces. Wear a mask. Moral of the story.
Do it.
Yeah, I some of my friends got some of the cool new like Under Armour ones that look kind of fancy. Like they're supposed to be for like working out and being active in a gym, because I think a lot of the gyms are open in Singapore, but a lot of people are just not going because it's close proximity. You don't know how.
Yeah,
you know, people.
I'm in that camp. I'm not going to my gym.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know. I just don't go back because I'm lazy, but
for me it's the same before or after COVID. I'm not going to the gym. No.
Okay. Yeah. So it's one of those things that it's kind of another step to just help with the process.
Yeah. Well, cool. Anyways, guys, that is it for this week. One little announcement we have to make is we have a very cool short video series that we are launching. Actually, we launched yesterday, called Pandemic Dispatches, which is short videos shot and produced by our staff around the region, talking about how the COVID-19 pandemic has changed their lives in ways large and small. So fun, personal, interesting little reports. The first one we did was from Bali, where Julianne, our staff member in Bali, has been unable to surf, which is a big hobby of hers. And so she's taken up skateboarding. So stay tuned for those. They're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. And actually, this series has been made possible through a grant from Facebook and Google for publishers that they are distributing basically due to the pandemic. So we thank Facebook and Google for their support there, even though we have some issues with them in other areas. That's it for this week.
Awesome.
Yay. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Coconuts Podcast is a Coconuts Media production. Our hosts are Byron Perry, Vim Shanmugam, and Summer Lee. Our production manager is Clarissa Cortez. Our editor is Rainer Lim.